Now, for those of you that have been here for the long haul, those of you that have been here for a while, would you stand real quick so I can look at your pretty faces this morning? You have supported this young pastor in just amazing ways. You believed in me. You believed in the vision. Most of all, you believed in the Lord. And I've got to say, on behalf of me and Rachel, each and every one of you are our Christmas gift this year. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Thank you for allowing God to give you me. You're a great gift. God bless you. You can be seated. God has given us so much this year as a church. We've changed the name from East Terrell Hills to New Vision because we have a new vision this Christmas. Amen? We have a vision of going farther than we've ever went before, preaching louder than we've ever preached, singing like we've never sang, dancing like we've never danced. But most of all, we want to get in the lives of the people and introduce people into the child that was born. Amen? This year, this morning, my beloved, that was number 15 and 16 that have been baptized since I've been pastor. God has truly blessed. God has truly blessed. There is life. But my beloved, this Christmas season, God has blessed us all year long. It is time for us to dig deep and begin to bless God like we've never blessed Him before. Amen? If you have your Bible, how many of you are ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. This is the one time out of the year that I can say it and I mean it. Let the roast burn. I'm going to preach this morning. If you got the Bible, turn to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 through verse 14. I'm in the New King James, and it's behind me if you don't have your Bible this morning. I'll give you just a moment to get there. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word this morning in reverence? Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" Heavenly Father, we love you today, and we celebrate what you've done for us. Lord, I pray now that you will bless this Merry Christmas sermon. Lord, I pray that it would be my voice, but it would be your words today. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would leave this service today encouraged and challenged and convicted. And Lord, may we leave more like the Master than we've ever been. We love you today. We ask for your power, your touch, and your love on your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Luke chapter 2, 8-14. You know the Christmas story here. Last Sunday, we were so blessed as our children got up here and they sang the song. And Kurt went through the Christmas story and read the Christmas passage to us. And it was so beautiful. But can you just imagine what taking place? And can you just get it in your mind that some 2,000 years ago that the Scripture says that we have these farmers, the shepherds, that are out and about and they hear something and they become afraid. And then an angel comes and says, "Do not be afraid, but be of good cheer, for to you today Christ the Lord is born. A Savior has been given." Praise the Lord. On the first Christmas, the angels came and they introduced the everyday working man to Jesus Christ. Amen. And what we've got to do as a church, we've got to do what the angels did. The responsibility that we have for Christmas is to take the message to the world. Take the message to everyone that will hear that do not be afraid of religion. Do not be afraid of the Spirit of God. Do not be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. Do not be afraid. Trust in the Lord and receive Him today. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. This is our objective. This is our responsibility this Christmas, is to take the message to the world that Jesus is Lord. The angels gave the message, "Fear not,
for to you a Savior has been given. We this Christmas have the opportunity to look at a lost and dying world that is in trouble. Our economy is in a mess. Our security has been compromised. We're in several wars in different countries, and we are in a mess, and we've got people that are afraid to go to bed at night. We've got spouses that are afraid that they may never see their other half again. We've got people that are afraid, how will I retire? How will I live? Today is the day to shout and let the world know, do not be of fear, for the Lord has been born, and that baby that was given to the world, He's still alive today. Come on, give Him some praise this morning. Amen. 2,000 years ago, the average working man was introduced to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't know about you, but I intend on making this a year that we introduce everyone that walks through the doors, every car that passes by New Vision Church, everybody that lives in our community. I want to introduce them to the child that was born to save the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. This Christmas, I believe it's time to introduce Him for who He is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God gave us a Savior on the first Christmas, and God gives the gifts that keep on giving. Amen? He gives the gift that keeps on giving. He gave us a Savior, and we live in a world where we have changed all of our words. Love doesn't mean love anymore. You hear little teenagers in the mall saying, I love you, to someone they just met and went on their first date. They don't understand what love is really about, to be in love with one another. Amen. We have changed so much in our terminology, and I believe that we as the church, we have forgot what it means, the word Savior. Savior is defined as one who saves and delivers and rescues. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that that baby grew to be a man, and he lived 33 and a half years, and he preached me the gospel, and his words are written in red, and it didn't stop there. He went and let the deaf man hear and the blind man see, and he marched to Calvary, and he died in my place, and he rules and reigns forever. I'm glad I've got a Savior this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I've got a Savior this morning in Christ Jesus. He saved my soul from the devil's hell. You see, I was born into sin. I was born in the world, taught me how to lie, and they taught me how to lust, and they taught me how to gossip, and they taught me how to cheat. But then I was introduced to that child that was born, and He made me a new man in Christ Jesus. Out with the old and in with the new. Amen. I'm a new person because of the blood that was shed on Calvary, and it all started with the birth. Amen. Amen. He's given me so much. He is my Savior. He is your Savior. He desires to be the Savior of the world today. He rescued me. He rescued me from myself. I grew up in a home where when I first told my parents that I was called to preach, they said, no, you're not. I said, I'm going to be a preacher. They said, no, you won't. But you know what? God rescued me from that environment. God rescued me out of poverty. There was times I had no food to eat. There was times I couldn't get out of the house. I remember some tough times. But you know what? I found out that He was there with me all the time. And He never gave me more than what I could handle. And when it got really bad, He just went ahead and pulled me out of the mess. I'm here to tell you today that if you'll have a relationship with that child that was born, I'm not talking about coming to church and singing our hymns and saying amen and going home and living like the world. I'm talking about if you'll really have a relationship with Jesus and you talk to Him Monday through Friday, and you make a choice that you want to live a life that is pleasing to that child that was born, I'm here to tell you that He will save you from your sin. He will rescue you from every valley that you got to go through. He will rescue you from every trial and every temptation that you go through if you'll just trust in Him and receive Him today. Amen. He truly is the Messiah. He truly is the Savior. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. He is our Savior. He is our Savior. There is none but Him. He has delivered me from my sinful addictions. He has delivered me from the bondage of sin. I believe Paul was probably shouting when he wrote down, and he told us in the book of Romans when he said that we don't have to live a lie. We don't have to be an instrument to sin anymore. But thanks be to God, because of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on Calvary, that I can be an instrument of righteousness. And what the world meant for bad, God is using for good this morning. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I mean, when you serve Jesus, everything works out for the glory of the Lord.
This past week, some of you probably heard, and those that don't, I'll tell you. We had a troubling situation at the house this week at the parsonage. This is a really horrible situation to have. And Glenna, I teach that physical praise against God's sake for everything. Well, I was tested. This week, listen to the testimony, Glenna, you're going to love this. This week, I was at work and Rachel called me. She said, David, well, she said a little louder than that. She said, we got sewage shooting out of the shower. Both of them. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I really didn't want to go home. Amen. It was the one time out of the year I wasn't looking forward to seeing my wife. I knew she was upset. See, I took my time, took the block a few times and all that good stuff. And give her time to get it cleaned up. God blessed her with a good husband this year. And anyway, we get it cleaned up and it happens again and again and again. And we get the people to come fix it. They say, we'll be there between 9 and 11. So I take the day off of work. And they don't show up till 7 o'clock at night. So I don't get to go on the Riverwalk and sing songs with everybody. And so then they say, well, we'll come back tomorrow morning. So I decide to take half the day off. And, well, I've got a beard this morning because I haven't been to work all week and it's still not fixed. But anyway, it's been a horrible mess. God's getting it fixed. But anyway, you know what? Instead of being upset and mad and angry when those people came to the house, and I could have been because I take a lot of time off work and they didn't show up. I was wearing one of my shirts I normally wear with scripture on it, and I was calm and talking to the guy, and he saw the scripture on my shirt, and he turned me around and read the rest of the scripture. We began to talk about the Lord, and he told me that he had went through a horrible time, and I told him about Jeremiah 29:11, and tried to witness to him and invite him to church. And you know what? We went on our way. I went back in the house, and last night we had the board meeting at the house, and we fed all the board and had a wonderful time with the board members. And right before the board members and the board thing started, 2 hours, that guy showed back up to my house. And he drew me this big, beautiful picture, and it's a cross, and it's got Jeremiah 29:11 written in it. And he's got a word that promised me that he'll be here on January 4th, his next Sunday off. Let me tell you something. Give God thanks for every situation. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how bad things look right now. Just look up and give Him praise, because I promise you, He is at work this morning. Amen? Hosea 13:4 says, yet I am the Lord your God, ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. I'm here to tell you today that there is no other religion other than a relationship with Jesus Christ that can save your soul and make heaven your home. Amen? I don't care what the world says. I don't care what Islam says. I don't care what all the other religions of the world says. There is no other way than Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the only way. He is the only Savior. His blood is the only blood that is a purifying blood that can eradicate our sin and make us holy as He is holy. Amen. And what we've got to do is we've got to send a message to Washington. We've got to send a message to our neighbors. We've got to send a message to the world that Jesus is Lord and there is no other than Him this Christmas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 106:21 says, they forgot their Savior who had done great things for them. We, the Christian people, sometimes forget our Savior who has done such wonderful things for us. I wonder this holiday season if you've been so focused on the turkey and the ham and the gravy and the gifts and the cards and all of this anxiety and pressure. Have you been so focused on it, or have you taken time to realize this is a holy holiday? We celebrate the birth of our Savior. He didn't have to come, but He chose to come because He loves us. Are you making time? If not, make time this week. Make it a holy week. Make it a time that you kneel before your Maker and just give Him thanks for who He is and for what He has done for you and for me and all of the world. Amen. Church, we cannot forget our Savior. We cannot forget what it's all about. Board members, as we close out the year, we cannot forget what it's all about. It's all about taking the message of Jesus Christ. We built a media team to help the media take the message a little stronger. We built a welcome center to make things more welcoming. But it's all about introducing people to Jesus Christ. We cannot forget our focus. Amen. This Christmas, we cannot forget about our Savior. And there's so many of us that have been in church all of our lives, singing the beautiful songs that we sang this morning. And we've been in church all of our lives, but it seems that we forget that Christ is our Savior. And it's like we fall out of love with Him.
For if we were in love with Him, you would talk with Him. And you would do things to make Him smile. Amen? This Christmas celebration should last throughout the year. Don't just make it this one week, this one Sunday. Make it an everyday thing. Can you imagine what kind of relationship you would have with your children if the only day you ever talked to them was on the day they were born? That would not be a relationship. I used to use that analogy with husband and wife, but men got excited. So I changed it this Christmas. But we love our children, so I've learned that's better. I can use that. Amen? But that wouldn't be a relationship. And I'm here to tell you that if you only come to church on Christmas, and if you only pray on Christmas, and if you only give during Christmas, if you're only interested in coming just to celebrate His birth, then my beloved, you don't have a relationship. But I'm here with good news to encourage you. You can leave here with a relationship today. You can leave here inspired and encouraged and have a one-on-one relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through 25. Three things I want to focus on. This was just the introduction, by the way. Now to get to my 3 points. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through 25 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream," or King James says vision, "saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Not Muhammad, but Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all that was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being arose from sleep, did as the angel Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and did not know her until she had brought first their firstborn son, and he called his name." Say it with me, Jesus. Amen. What an amazing story, the greatest story ever told, the Christmas story. Here's Joseph, and he's excited to get married to Mary. He's excited about the engagement because all of us men are excited to get married. It's trying to keep that excitement once we're married that we have a problem. Amen. But Joseph is excited to get married to Mary and excited to what's coming up, and then to find out that she's with child. You can imagine how his heart was probably broke. You can imagine the anger that Joseph must have had. And then of all excuses to give to say that it's a child of God and that I haven't been with any man, you wouldn't have believed it either. Amen? I wouldn't have either. Isn't it something that when God does something that is not traditional, something that we've never seen done before, that we automatically assume that it must not be of God? When we sing songs in a different way, we've never sang that way before, it must not be of God. How many blessings that we have fell short of, and how many blessings has God tried to give us in a non-traditional way? I'm here to tell you that Christmas was not a traditional thing. If you would have been on the board, if God had a board, and God said, "I'm going to save the world by taking a girl that's engaged and has never been with a man, and I'm going to put a child in there," some of you would have objected to God's plan. Well, what will the church think, God? What will the elders think and the deacons think? And God, that's not traditional. That's not like us to do that. You know you would have. God said, "Be still and know that I am God. And just trust me. Let me do this. I'm good at it." Amen? I'm good at being God. Amen? But Joseph doubts, and Joseph, being a good man and loves his wife-to-be so much that instead of putting her to death or putting her away openly, he decides that he would just separate privately. And aren't you glad that even though Joseph was a traditionalist and didn't believe that that was of God, and although he wanted to walk away from the greatest gift ever given, that God didn't give up on him? Aren't you glad that God didn't let him just walk away? Aren't you glad that we have a God this Christmas that when he comes to us and we reject his way and we reject his message, that if he has to, he will send his angels in the visions, he will send his preachers, he will send his teachers, he will send his singers, he will send whatever he's got to send to get you to understand what his purpose is. Amen. This Christmas, we need to celebrate the vision that God gave Joseph and the angel that went and told Joseph. And then Joseph got the high honor of being able to name Jesus, Jesus, and raise Jesus as his own. What a wonderful blessing. Amen. But he almost walked away from it. This Christmas, how many things have we almost walked away from? This Christmas, how many things are we already walking away from because it's not traditional? Because we've never done it before. We've never seen God do that before. When God tells you he's going to do something that has never done before, don't walk away. Get excited. Kneel on your knees. Kneel before your Maker and say, "Good God Almighty, I'm ready." Amen. Pastor, that's not a traditional Christmas message. That's all right. You love me anyway. Amen. How awful it is that we condemn what we don't understand. Most of the church today would have condemned what God was doing in giving Mary the child of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all your flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall see dreams." I don't know about you, but at New Vision Church of the Nazarene, I want our young men, our old women, our young women, everybody in between, I want us to get a vision from God. I want to pray, God, send us dreams. Send us visions. Let us understand what your perfect, holy will is for us in our lives. Amen. I believe that he will. Amen. I thank God this Christmas for the vision. I thank God this Christmas that he doesn't let us just walk away. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 through 12 says, "Then they heard the king. They departed, and behold, the star, which they saw in the east, was before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." The wise men were seeking after the Savior. The wise men were seeking for the Savior. But the amazing thing is, the wise men weren't deacons. The wise men weren't elders. The wise men at that time, as much as we know, they weren't believers. They weren't your religious people, but yet they were still seeking because they had heard the story that a king was going to be born and they wanted to find the king. I'm here to tell you today that we've got a world that is a world of unbelievers. We've got a world that are the unchurched and the unchristian people. But I'm here to tell you that just like the wise men, they are seeking for something. They are seeking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They are seeking for that peace that surpasses all understanding. They are seeking for that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And we must introduce the seekers to him. Amen. There are many around the world that are trying to get rid of the nativity. Jesus has been kicked out of schools. The baby has been removed from our courthouses and all throughout our nation. We have seen this year that it's went even beyond what it has in the past few years, and things that are just getting out of control. I'm here to tell you, Christmas is a Christian holiday. It's about Jesus. And don't be deceived by the media. Although we've got many liberals that want to get rid of Jesus, although we've got many that want to take away the nativity, I'm here to tell you that he's here to stay. He's not going anywhere. This is his kingdom. This is his world. Amen. And I am just convinced that they are those that are drinking their life away, trying to drink their problems away because they're seeking something. There are they in the world today that are putting needles where needles should not go because they're in pain and agony and they're seeking something. They don't know what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. I'm here to tell you, they're looking for the Savior that was born, and we as a church must point them in the right direction and introduce them to the Savior in which we know. Psalms 14:2 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race, and He looks to see if anyone is truly wise and seeking Him." Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking His holy, perfect will for your life? Not just for Christmas, but your life. Have you made that decision that every breath you breathe belongs to God, and every day that is given is a gift from on high? Have you made that decision that you're going to seek God and find out what He wants you to do with Him? I think the greatest tragedy that our church could ever experience is for those of you that attend here to be able to say on January 4th, when we celebrate and become New Vision, for you to look and say, "They have done great. They have improved. They have doubled." Friends, what you need to say is, "We have doubled. We have worked. We have prayed. We have sought." God wants you to be a part of the growth of this church this Christmas. Whatever your gifts, whatever your talents are, give it to the Lord. Amen? Seek means to go in search and quest of. And there's a world that's in search and quest of something, and it's Jesus Christ. Matthew 2:10 says that when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. The wise men, they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. And the Bible says in 2:10 that in Matthew that when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Friends, there was a star in the eastern sky that was brighter than any other star, and it led them to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I want to be the twinkle, twinkle little star up above the world, so bright that everybody can see that I'm shining with the love of Jesus this Christmas. Amen. I want to be a church that is shining far above every other church. Not because of the budget that we have, not the plans and the programs we have, but because we preach the inspired Word of God and we share the love of God with the people. Amen. This year, I want to be that star. How about you? I want to be that star in San Antonio that people are coming from miles and miles away just to be introduced to Jesus. I want to be that star that people come to our welcome center aisle and they say, "I have heard that the child of the living God is here. I have heard that the Holy Spirit is here. I have heard that they that could not see have seen here. I have heard that those that cannot hear can hear here. Would you introduce me to Jesus?" That's what we want this Christmas. Amen. To be that bright and shining star. Amen. Matthew 2:11. You wonder why I'm not preaching tonight. I knew I was going to preach hard this morning. Matthew 2:11. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother. Mary, they bowed down and they worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chests and gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. My beloved, the wise men, they sought. For months, they carried those gifts with them. For months, they followed that star until they finally got to the house of God. They walked in, and there, the baby, that night, they saw the Savior of the world. The Bible says that when they did, they opened up their chest and they gave gifts to Jesus. I know this year you've had your Christmas list. I know you've been stressed because there's not enough money to give gifts to everybody we want to give gifts to. Amen? This year, you shouldn't be so focused on what you're going to give your husband and your wife. You shouldn't be so focused on what you're going to give your children. You shouldn't be so focused on how many people you can give cookies to and making sure you get the mailman and all of those things. And some of you thinking, "Oh, it just reminds me." You shouldn't be focused on that. You should be focused on this Christmas. What can I give? God wants more than what list we have on our list today for the things to bring tonight. God wants you to give Him your everything. God wants nothing more. Listen, The scripture says this, Psalm says, may he remember all your gifts and look favorably upon your offerings. You could give a check for our debt, and I'll remember it. I'll be grateful. The church will be grateful. But you know what? As great as that would be, God wants something better than that. God wants something that means more to him than the debt of our church. God wants your heart. God wants your time. God wants your family. God wants your soul. God wants a relationship with you this Christmas. The wise men came to the house of God and they knelt before him and they brought gifts. What gift will you give Jesus this year? All of us have something that we can give to the Savior today. We've got a voice that we can give. We've got a sermon that we can give. We've got a lesson that we can give. We've got talents that we can give. Amen? I love Nancy and Jim O'Cobby. They're gone. They're suffering. They're going to have a horrible Christmas. They're on a cruise in Mexico. I mean, it's going to be horrible. So we need to pray for them. But Nancy, you know, she loves computers. And she decided to give that gift to the Lord and built that website and got with Jeff and the videotape. And now because of that, 41 countries around the world get to hear the message from this little church. That's amazing. But she took her little gift. She took her interest. And she said, God, I'm giving this to you, and God has blessed it. I don't care if you like to cook. I don't care if you like to sew. I don't care if you like to clean, if you like to laugh. Whatever it is that you enjoy doing, make a decision to give that to God today. And God will bless it, and he will use it to introduce people to the kingdom. You say, I don't have any money. That's all right. I don't have much either. God wants more than your money, friends. Don't get discouraged by listening to all of these preachers that all they preach is about finances. God wants more than your money. He wants your heart. So my closing question to you today is, what gift will you give the Lord? Every head bowed, all eyes closed. Monty's getting ready to come forward.
I want you to ask.
You come here today, you follow the signs. You follow the star, you have made your way here. You're at the house of God, and you are introduced to the same thing the wise men were introduced to. You've been introduced to Jesus Christ. He is here, alive, and well. Now that he's here, now that he's before you, what will you do with him? Will you give him your heart? Will you give him your life? If so, would you come forward? Monty's going to sing a song. Everybody's eyes still closed. Nobody looking around. While he's singing, the altar is open. Come, every one of you, get out of your seat. Kneel before your Maker and make a promise to give your life, to give your talent, to give everything you've got to him this Christmas. Come on. Jesus is here. This is his house. Will you kneel before your Maker? Give something to God. Come on. Come forward.